Berylum Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport podcast.
So, here we are again on Radio Verulam's local football show. Now, we're going to focus a little bit on St Albans City just for 10 minutes or so, because we've got a special guest with us. But before we introduce you to this special guest, it's been a phenomenal summer, let's say, for St Albans City. A couple of changes have occurred. So they've changed their emblem, football badge, if you like. They've also had a new kit provider. So Hemel have been the kit maker for the season going ahead. And also a fantastic sponsorship deal with local musicians Enter Shikiri. So three big launches and changes for the Saints. However, I'm really excited now to introduce you to Dean Austin. Now, Dean Austin has been brought in for another phenomenal moving forward change direction, if you like, for St Albans City, which is Dean's been brought in specifically to set up an academy. So I'm really intrigued to hear more about this. No doubt all you Saints fans are as well. So first and foremost, Dean, welcome to Radio Verulam. And can you just first and foremost tell us a little bit about you, your background, and in particular your sporting success so far?
Well, I don't really like to talk about what I've done or the past. I like to kind of try and focus on the future, really. I'll talk a little bit really is in regards to the people have asked me about why I've volunteered, because that's exactly what I am. I'm a volunteer. That, like, this is it's not going to be my full-time job, but it feels like at the moment it is my full-time job. We have a lot, we have a hell of a lot going on. But St Albans City Football Club is a place that is very, very special to me. It holds a very, very special place in my heart because it gave me my opportunity in football 32 years ago. As any young footballer who's been released from a professional club, as it was in my case, 18 years old. I just turned 18 and Watford released me. And St Albans City Football Club, through Doug Parkin and John Mitchell. John Mitchell is obviously someone who's very well known to people who have supported St Albans City Football Club for a long period of time. They opened their doors and invited me in. And to be honest with you, and again, I didn't get in the team immediately. The team was set up. I didn't get in the team immediately for a couple of months, 2-3 months. And then I got an opportunity through a suspension. And from there, really, I didn't really look back. I think I probably played made 70-80 appearances over the course of 2 seasons, and then in the March of 1990, Southend United made an offer for me that was not a large sum of money, but it was a large sum of money for St Albans probably at that time, which was £14,000 plus a 25% sell-on clause. And then, you know, that was me really. That gave me lift off really just before my 20th birthday. And then I had two successful years at Southend United, where we had back-to-back promotions. And then we got promoted from the old Division 4, which is now League 2. And then the following year, we won League 1. And we went straight to the Championship and had a very good year in the Championship also. But then I got courted by Tottenham, and you know, just after my 22nd birthday, I fulfilled a lifelong dream. Then I've had sort of obviously over 450 appearances in the Football League and the Premier League. I then played for Crystal Palace after I left Spurs. And then I finished playing. I packed up playing really through injury in 2003. I played my last game, my last professional game on my 33rd birthday. But the injuries had just got too much. I was crippled with a knee injury and a foot injury. An injury to my right foot, an arthritic injury in my right foot and an arthritic injury in my left knee. And it was time to just hold your hands up and say, right, I've punished the body enough. And it's time to move on. But coaching, I'd already gone into coaching. I started coaching when I was 28, 29. I've been lucky. I've had some major influences on my life from, you know, John Mitchell at St Albans City. He was very, very good for me. And then I played for David Webb, who was like a second father to me at Southend United. But then I've played for some great managers. I played for Terry Venables. I played for Ozzy Ardiles. I played for Jerry Francis. I played for Steve Coppell. I played for Steve Bruce. So I was very, very fortunate. But all these managers kept saying to me, you're doing your coaching, aren't you? You are going down the coaching road, aren't you? You do want to coach and manage that. And I said, yeah, it's something that I'm really passionate about. And I went straight into it really in 2003. So I'm like 17 years experience now. But youth development has been a very, very big part of my journey. From when we set up the academy project really at Southend United back in 2005 to what that is now. It's a self-funded academy with players that are being sold constantly at the younger ages with sell-on fees. And then obviously, I went to Crystal Palace, I went to Reading where players like Gylfi Sigurdsson, go to Crystal Palace with players like Wilfried Zaha and Nathaniel Klein, you know, so it's the development side of the game, although I'm also a manager and a first team coach or whatever, where it is results based, obviously, you are judged on your results. Development of players is a massive, massive thing that has been in my life. And the development of young people and of young players is a massive, massive part of it and has been, because I've been doing it at a grassroots level through a grassroots football club and my own development academy in St Albans that runs sort of not connected to a club or anything like that. It's free for everybody. Like it's open to everybody. But over the last 4 or 5 years, I've been friends with Lawrence for quite a while. Lawrence is a very good friend and he's very, very passionate about the city. He's very, very passionate about the football club. And he and I have been speaking about for quite some time about, is there something that we can do? Is there something that we can get? Is there something that we can get the ball rolling on? You know, Graham, we're not going to change the world in a year. That is for sure. This is a project that we're going to put an infrastructure in place. And we are going to grow. We're going to grow this academy, and we're going to. We know what our objective is. Our objective is to create opportunities for aspiring young footballers who want to play for St Albans City Football Club.
Yeah.
The city's cried out for something like this for quite a while. So we've decided that, you know, it was agreed. We'd already agreed it, to be honest with you, November, December. Everything was going along very, very smoothly, and then we had COVID. It's obviously we've had to realign a few bits and pieces, but you know, it's structures and organisations is part of my bag. It's part of what I do, and I think I'm pretty good at it. I've done it before at other places, at bigger clubs than St Albans. So I'm hopeful that we can get something going.
And you know, looking at your background as well, Dean, don't forget you're out of them 454 appearances. You scored 19 goals, right? So that's pretty good for a defender, isn't it?
It's a good well, yeah, but I've never scored any for Spurs, unfortunately. But I scored a few on my travels. I was one of the penalty takers at Southend. I was the penalty taker at Southend, and I was the penalty taker at Crystal Palace as well. But I wouldn't want to count how many of those were.
Yeah, exactly. And great to see you scored a few at the Saints. And I think what's really interesting leading into what you've started talking there about yourself and Lawrence, which is a brilliant insight, is that you talked earlier a little bit about your disappointment being released as a professional footballer, as was my situation as well. And back in them 80s, 90s, that was a very difficult time. There was no support networks. Is that one of the motivating factors of why you decided you wanted to go down this route of helping youngsters and academies? And if so, what is the longevity for setting up an academy for start to see some return on investment? Is it 5 years, 10 years? What would you say is the norm?
If I go back sort of 15 years, Graham, to when we started off at Southend and we spoke to the chairman, and we were lucky, we had a very, very supportive chairman. And we kind of created this this structure, this environment that we wanted to create an environment and a culture where young kids, and built around the values of the football club, which is what exactly what we're going to do at St. Albans. We've got values. We have a set of values that we are going to adhere to. That is what we want. We're going to do things in the way that, okay, I'm going to have people that are working for me, but we're going to do things in a way that I believe is what helps young people evolve and help them learn in their lives. You know, we're looking at other things. We're looking at education schemes, and we're trying to get links with, you know, we already got links. I mean, to be fair, we're very, very fortunate. Oakland's College have opened their doors to us, and we go into their new training facility this week. The academy is opening today, and they very, very kindly working with us. And you know, we're going to be going in there on a Wednesday and a Friday evening where we're going to be coaching our players. So we're very lucky. But back in the day when we started at Southend, the owner actually turned around and said, "Well, what do you need?" We said, "Well, we need some money to get this thing going, really," which is always difficult. You know, we're not going to, you know, people have to respect that Lawrence and John McGowan put their hands in their pockets every year and fund this football club, you know, to the level of six figures a year, just to keep the lights on. So the whole part of the academy process was that, right, okay, can we get local aspiring footballers, can we develop them to a level that they can come through and feed into our first team? This is about now trying to create a pathway. This is trying to create a pathway for St. Albans City that there's never been before. And other people, you know, other people, there's some great grassroots football clubs around. You know, some fantastic grassroots football club. City Youth has done marvellous things in the community for 30 years. Oakland's Wolves are now doing great things. Harvesters, Coney Heath, Harpenden Colts, all these clubs do fantastic work, but there is no pathway. Coney Heath to a certain extent, but it's a little bit lower level. But there isn't a pathway for the elite player to be able to feed through into. And that is what we want to do. We want to work with all those clubs. We want all those. Like the first thing that we did before it was announced, I sent an email to every single chairman at every single all the grassroots clubs in the local area. So, sorry, mate, that's my phone going off. Sorry. Sent letters to all the grassroots chairmen just to, as a courtesy, to let them know what we're going and to. If they want, there's open communication. If they want to find a little bit more about what's going on, a little bit more information, a little bit more meat on the bone, then obviously I will give up my time, which is what I'm doing at the minute. I'm in between professional jobs and I don't know what I'm going to do. So while I do have the time, I'm going to dedicate that time to St. Albans City Football Club, because we've got a lot of work to do. And there's a lot of plans that are in the process. There's a lot of things going in place, and the infrastructure is being, the foundations have already been laid. We're now like really, we're just starting to lay the bricks.
I mean, it sounds phenomenal, Dean. And as we know, these, I guess one of your aims would be into, let's say, 5, 10, maybe 15 years, you're building a legacy to, as you say, bringing these youngsters through into St. Albans City first team. I mean, these things don't happen overnight, but the sound of what you're trying to achieve with the club is you're putting all these foundations in and you're connecting with the community to pull everybody together. Sounds absolutely incredible. And I guess that would be one of your aims, right?
Well, you know, the aim was when, for example, when I go back to previous places and I go back to Southend and I go back to Crystal Palace, and you create an academy structure because you want to create that pathway and you want to produce your own players. So the chairman or a chairman would say, right, okay, this is a new project. You've got to set this up. How long is it going to take? What is our time frame? When am I going to see some return? If someone's putting their money up, an owner, a chairman, you always have to work for a cycle. Really, you would have to be saying you have to have a cycle, which is probably 3 to 5 years, really. But I'm a bit hungrier than that, and I want it a bit quicker than that. So we have two teams. We have two very good teams that are in place now this year for 16s and 18s. And this is where Graham, that we're, it's slightly different. This is not about Dean Austin trying to create something or create an environment which grassroots clubs want to do. Some grassroots clubs are all about the players and enjoyment and what have you. There are a lot of people out there at grassroots clubs that they're just doing it to win. The ego of the manager, they want to win. They want to be able to turn around, as I call them, and I don't mean this detrimentally, but, you know, the Jurgen Klopp wannabes want to be able to say at the end of the season, I've won the West Arts Division League One, and I've won the County Cup, and I'm not interested in any of that. The legacy that we want to create is to be able to go, well, you know what? We've got two nice teams here at the moment. We've got 16s and 18s, but look at that boy there. He's now in St Albans' first team. The team was a good team, but the winning, everybody wants to win, Graham. You do not have to go into kids now and start telling them about winning. Winning should not be their ultimate objective. Developing as better footballers and better human beings is what is the paramount importance to us, that share the values of St Albans City Football Club, and then they come through on our journey into our first team and beyond. Hopefully, you know, hopefully there's players there that are lucky enough. I say this to many, many young players, and I've had a lot of young players that pass through my hands, if you like, every single week, and especially over the course of the last 17 years. And I see kids now, young footballers playing football, and I look at them and I don't ever remember being that good. I don't remember myself being that good. And I, you know, we've done a big induction evening with the whole academy for the under 16s and the under 18s that are our flagship teams this year. And they are two phenomenal groups of lads. And that, for me, makes me really happy. When I go in and I see those teams, I see those guys, they want to work hard. They want to listen. They want to learn. You know, I said to the academy boys or the academy teams on the induction evenings, and I said to them, someone asked me, and I'd done a chat for some young children, 15, 6, 16 year old. And they said to me, how did you get to where you got to? When you was a young player and you was like us, how did you get to? I had many, many rejections, Grant. I got rejected probably between the ages of 12 and 18. I got rejected by about 5 clubs. I got rejected by Northampton. I got rejected by Luton. I got rejected by Watford. I got rejected by Arsenal. I got rejected by all these. But the thing was, there was 3 things that I can only define myself of how I was. I worked hard, and I said this to the boys, and I put it on the screen for them. I worked hard, I dreamed big, and I never gave up.
Excellent.
They were the 3 things that I could, it's all I can say, that with young players now, you go and watch young players play, and there's young players, there's some phenomenal young players around, and especially in St Albans in the area. We've got over 140,000 people that live in this city and the surrounding areas. And there's players that are not in academies, that are not in professional academies. You can't tell me that they're not going to be good. They're good enough for St Albans City. And if they want to learn and they aspire to be, but they are good players now, when you get to the level of where we're talking about now, there are loads and loads of good players. And all those players, their levels are all much for muchness. They're all much for muchness. It's the ones that want it a little bit more, that work a little bit harder, that the ones that never give up, the ones that want to listen, the ones that want to take on board the information. Those are the ones that come through. And we've got that at the moment at 16s and 18s. And I'm not going to turn around to you now and say, I'm telling you now, we're going to have four or five of these players in the next 3 years. But if we get one, it's a result. With something that is at the stages of, it's at the infantile stages of what we're doing.
We've
got one from them.
Yeah, it's superb. And we need to spend more time with you. Love listening to your passion, your enthusiasm. And you're right, it's not just about at all costs win. It's about that mental and it's about that physical development for that child. And I think this is phenomenal. And just to wrap up on that, and we'll hopefully touch base with you a little bit longer on this.
Anytime.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing, and I saw it at Hashtag United because Radio Verulam did live commentary there, which we're going to do all season. So hopefully we'll see you around as well, is that the young lad, the young goalkeeper came on in the second half. Ian brought him on. And that was wonderful, being a local person, is to...
Well, Jack DeGroote's been with me for 8 years, eight, 9 years. Right. So he's played at a local grassroots club, and he's been in the team. He plays in the same team as my son. And you could tell from a very, very young age, he was an extremely, extremely talented boy. And although being a goalkeeper, I don't want to say too much about him because it'll make his head get big. You know, but he's a fantastic human being. He's a fantastic human being. And he joins in training with us. And 80% of what he does is he's on the field. He's on the field with the team. And you would not know that he's a goalkeeper. That's how good he is. That's how good he is. He's a great lad. And we've got Declan Jackson as well, who's another goalkeeper who's a year older. Declan's also played in this pre-season. We had seven boys that went down and played to have an experience with the first team with Ian to play with his squad. So he mixed his squad up, and we had six of our boys that went in and played. Great experience for them. You know, they played their first game, their last friendly game. But we play in the FA Youth Cup. Like St Albans, the start of St Albans City Football Academy has a very, very big evening on Wednesday evening because we play in the FA Youth Cup against Hadley at home. And it's a big night for us. You know, it's a big night. It's a big night for the young players to be able to get an opportunity to be able to showcase themselves for the city, to represent the city and to represent their families in front of some supporters, because we've got, you know, we're opening our gates on Wednesday to 150-odd supporters, you know, with a little bit of a COVID testing type thing. So it's a very, very big night for us on Wednesday, but it's going to be, as I've said to the boys, the most important thing is, you know, we are representing the city is the first thing. We are going to improve because we work off the process of improvement. That is part of the thing what I always work on with the young players is about how you improve and what you need to improve, and being able to understand the values and the philosophy of the football club and how you want to be and what you want to be and what you aspire to be. So we'll do that. You know, we'll do that, and we're going to, it's, you know, we're constantly, the wheels constantly revolving, it's turning around. Graham, we've got, there's staff in place, there's other things going on. I will speak to you about another time, but I don't want to speak about things that are not, I haven't quite got there yet. They're on their way and they're well on their way, but we've got a little bit more pushing to do yet. But at the moment it's an exciting project. I'm excited about it. And I only get things that are involved in things that I'm excited about, especially when you're not a paid employee. But it's something that I'm really, really passionate about, and I'm really, really determined to deliver an elite environment.
And I can see your passion. Your credentials is phenomenal. I also think of how Ian's credentials is there as well in the football world. Ian likes to try and develop youngsters as well where possible, because obviously he's got to balance it to get first team results, as we know. So I think the City or the Saints is truly set up with two real football gents at their helm, understanding local football and development. Is that fair to say?
Oh, I think, you know, as in regards to what we're doing at the minute, Ian is so supportive of what's being done. We want to create opportunities for young players, but as I've been in Ian's position, so I've been a manager, so I know. But I've always given young players an opportunity. It doesn't matter how old they are. If I think they're good enough, I play them. And I think that we've got that balance with Ian. Ian will lean on me. I'm not going to throw kids to the wolves. That if I don't think that they're ready, that I'm going to put them into a situation with Ian. But we've got this constant continuity now where we're trying to integrate youth team players into first team training. We're already working on that process now. Our plan, our model, we work a month in advance, and we're already looking at trying to get it within line with what the under 18s and the under 16s are doing. And when they're training, when someone's doing well, right, can we get them an experience now with the first team? Can we get them into their training schedule? And, you know, we've got this whole periodisation model in place now for the young players, because we train on a Wednesday and Friday, and the first team train on a Tuesday and a Thursday. You know, you can't overtrain these players, especially at this age now. Between 15 and 18 are vital, vital years. The younger ages, yes, obviously, but we're not going to get involved in that until under 13, as in regards to when the PDP will start, which our PDP will start at under 13s and 14s in the beginning of October, where we're going to invite kids to come in to train as an academy, as a group. And then we're going to, obviously, players, it's a trial basis, but they're going to get quality coaching. We're going to have first team coaches. They're going to have me as what I've done in my career. They're going to have me coaching them. They're going to have first team coaches. You know, Chris Winton, Steve Conroy are going to be coaching these boys. So it's a very good experience for them. But what we're saying is that we don't really want to do too much at the younger ages, Graham, because my view is that kids should be able to go and play and enjoy playing football with their friends. Some want to play in better teams, some don't. But sometimes I take players all the time and players that you might go, oh, right, not ready here, not ready there, but you can polish. If a player wants to work hard and he wants to improve, you can polish players up and players can develop. And that is what this is about. This is about developing the best young players to get them to the level that they aspire to be. So Almond City and beyond.
We're so lucky, and it's such an exciting time considering what's happened with the pandemic and how that's turned everything upside down, including football. So now we've got this local positivity of a succession plan, a vision from youngsters through to the first team. Just finally from me, Dean.
Well, we do, Graham. We do have it, but we're always going to have, and this is what happens when you lead something, when you're trying to develop something, you'll always have the people that want to go, nah, let's pour some water over that. We don't want to be in, but like, that's a load of nonsense, isn't it? You get it in every walk of life. Absolutely. And as I've said to the guys and a couple of the guys within the academy and that are already employed have said, oh, Dean, oh, poor this and what that. And I turn around and I say this all the time. I say this, Graham, honestly, with the greatest respect, I have no axe to grind with anybody at all. Whatever anyone else decides that they want to do, good luck to them. Brilliant. Wish you all the very best. But I won't let negativity deter away from what we're going to build.
Right.
If people want to be negative, then it's fine. There's no problem, but they won't get replies. We have to move forward. We've all got to be rowing the boat in the same direction, Graham.
Yes.
If someone tries to stick their oar in the ground to steer the boat off an opposite direction, with me, they'll get thrown overboard. I'm not interested. I have to move forward, mate. Yes. I have to look forward. I have to see what it looks like.
I think what's really interesting there as well, Dean, obviously being involved in football and business and such, is that I actually, listening to what you're saying, and I've experienced it bits myself, is that because in the football world, you have to be a high-performing person, if that makes sense. You have to be a high-performing team player. And I've noticed in business how the basics of, you know, being a good team player can be missed. And it's because people are not exposed to that environment and the benefits of how successful that can be. And I think it's quite an enrichment when you've been in that environment, because it becomes second nature. But actually, it can easily be underestimated by people who have never been exposed to it. So that's when we get into the realms of leadership and stuff, don't we? Who's experienced that and how can they lead to make sure that they're still driven to be a result, and then people that negativity can sort of be pushed aside, because being positive is the only way forward in elite sport, isn't it, really? You've got to...
Well, it is, and it's, you know, when you're leading something, you're never going to be popular. You're never going to be popular with people because you have to make decisions. When you have to make decisions, I've got a saying that I treat everybody with the utmost respect, but you can't please everybody all of the time. It's just one of those things. It is unfortunate. It is the way it is. We wish that we could sugarcoat everything and make everything in the world lovely and rosy. What we have to do is that we have to make sure that we treat people with the utmost respect. You know, be nice to people. You don't need to be horrible to people, because you have to make decisions, but you have to be honest. You have to be honest, and you have to be transparent. And sometimes people don't like change. That is fact. When people have done things and then change frightens people. It frightens people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always say, give evolution a chance. And the reason why we do it, is that we're doing it for the kids, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's also a message.
We're doing it for the kids. It's for the kids in the city, Graham.
Absolutely. And that just shows diversity, doesn't it? Equality of diversity, understanding that not everybody's going to like everything, but if we go into things with positivity, and in particular working with youngsters, it is about giving them a path of positivity, isn't it? Because sport is just positive from a physical...
Well, it's, you know, I've had loads and loads of questions from people, different people, things we're looking to do, and there's many things that need to be done. So, like Lawrence getting the support that he needs to build this new stadium is a massive, massive thing. A new stadium for this city would be phenomenal. And it's time that the people in the city that run the city, that make the decisions, it's time that they kind of go, well, hold on a minute. There's something being really, really done here for positivity for the city, positivity for the kids, and create an environment that can be for multi-use, where young children can go and play. We want to be diverse as we can. One of the questions that has been asked me, Graham, is what about the girls? Are we going to do something about the girls? Yeah, we desperately want to do something about the girls, but we can't run before we can walk. We've got to get this thing going before we can. We can't run before we can walk. You know, I'm really, really passionate about girls football, and I have girls that come to my own Valenti Academy that is a majority boys environment, but I have girls that come as well, you know, and they love it, and they love their football just the same as what the boys do. But this is where we are in the here and now, and it's something that we've got to build to.
Dean, wonderful, fantastic, and thank you for your time. I could talk all day with your sort of background, and
I'm starting, mate. I'll you'd never
Well, listen, we've got lots of opportunities. And my final question was going to be, because we're doing live commentary this season at the Saint and you're free and available, would you come and co-commentate with us on one game, maybe?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely, 100%. 100%. I'm out at football. When the season starts, I'll be out all over the place. But I always, last year, I think I took in probably half a dozen of the Saints games.
Right.
So, 100%, I'll definitely do that with you.
Superb. We'll touch base on that. And we'll also get another podcast session with you shortly with Tony Rice, who is keen to learn more about this brilliant success, or this fantastic starting point, as you say, for the youngsters and the city. So, Dean, thank you very much. Thank you for joining our local football show. It's every Tuesday, 7 p.m. And we look forward to touching base with you very, very shortly. So, thank you.